Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Barry West, the Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation's Chief Information Officer. Barry, in some ways, this is a return visit for you and Ask the CIO. In other ways, this is brand new for you. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jason. Good to be here.
So you came back to government, I think I can't believe it's almost about a year ago, which is just crazy because I swear you just came back just the other day. So give me a sense, what made you decide to come back and how did you end up at PBGC? And I mean that in the most respectful way, because sure. A lot of times there's interesting stories about how people end up where they end up.
I had a good run in the government, did about 25 years, and then got out and did about 5.5 years in the private sector. And what I found, I really enjoyed my time in the private sector, but it's one thing, Jason, to be supporting the mission as a contractor, and it's another to actually be directing and leading the mission as a government executive. And I truly miss that day-to-day rigor of the CIO position, even though I'd been in three previous CIO positions. And I always wanted to be in a financial services organization, and the stars just seemed to align perfectly with what the PBGC leadership was actually looking for in their next CIO.
Was this a typical, hey, you went to USA Jobs and applied, or did somehow you knew somebody and again, you were recommended somehow?
I actually went out and applied for the job and was actually recommended as well. So it was kind of both things going on, and they really wanted somebody that had that industry and government experience on both sides.
Now, your experience in industry was not necessarily with the financial sector, so what drew you back to the financial sector?
Well, I had never really done the financial sector, so I have a business background because some of the agencies that I was in during my first 25 years in government were fee-based, but I never was in a strictly financial services, and I really wanted to do that. You know, I have a business, one of my degrees is in business, and just finished a doctorate up in business, and I really wanted to be in that financial focus area rather than, you know, some of the other areas that I've been in at before, like the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, Commerce, and others.
So how big of a learning curve did you face coming into PBGC? Because, as you said, you've never had that experience, but you do have a little bit of background around finance.
Not that big of a learning curve. Obviously, being a CIO before that, not much had changed there because that's like getting back on a bike. But the big learning curve was learning the business processes and our actual business of paying pensions to the nation and learning our systems, getting to know the business units, the executives in those business units, learning where they're at, where they want to see more from IT. So that was really the biggest thing in taking the job and getting up to speed quickly.
Talk a little bit about how you went and did that. Did you just have meetings after meetings? Do you have town halls? Because I know one of the things we will talk about in a little bit is the IT strategic plan, which I'm just going to guess came from all those conversations.
A big part did. It laid the groundwork. But it was really me getting out there. And I think one of the big roles of a CIO is negotiations and selling and business development. And that's what I was doing. And I'm good at that. And so I created some really good relationships with folks like our CFO, our general counsel, our IG, those type key positions, our business unit, our pension area, and really establish those relationships through one-on-ones and then working group meetings that my CIO shop already has. We have one area of the organization, which we'll get into in a little bit as far as the various structure, but we have a IT and business modernization department, and we have liaisons in those divisions that are already working closely with all the business units. So it was starting to attend a lot of those meetings, getting to know what challenges they were having, and really, you know, rolling my sleeves up and getting involved.
As you mentioned, you were CIO at FEMA, you were CIO at National Weather Service previously, mm-hmm. I think Deputy CIO at Commerce?
Actually, CIO at Commerce.
CIO at Commerce, mm-hmm. I couldn't remember back to 2007 when you left, it was just too long ago. But how much different is the government today than it was in 2007? I mean, I know we can talk cloud and cyber and technologies, but from a process perspective, from a CIO's perspective, how much different is it so far?
There's some areas that I've noticed, like commodity IT, you know, things that, you know, like help desk and things like that that the government typically did before. A lot of that's all contracted out. So I'm seeing, you know, one thing I see is a lot of that. The email systems, before I left government, before there were only maybe one or two that were even talking about, you know, having that put in a cloud. In fact, cloud technically didn't come out till 2008, so it was more of a managed service type approach versus a true cloud computing. So a lot of those type things have changed. Some other things that I noticed changed is I get a lot less phone calls on the landline. People don't call as much on the phone. I've noticed that it's much more texting and emails than actual people calling on phones and chatter, instant messaging for internal type communications. And you mentioned it, and I'll mention it again, that obviously the cyber threat, the security threat has definitely increased since I had left government.
In some ways, is the CIO job a little bit harder today than it was when you left in 2007? Or is it just different and hard, easy is really hard to say?
Yeah, I'd say it's just different. I wouldn't say it's any harder. For example, the security, I see the CIO now having to be much more engaged with security. And I guess a lot of that would depend on the organization that you're going into, how mature they are. But we have two material weaknesses here around security. So I'm spending quite a bit of time with my CISO and the security staff and working with the IG and briefing our executive council on where we stand with security. So that's one of the biggest things I've noticed as far as the changing role. And I'd say that amongst most CIOs, that they've got to now be much more engaged. They can't just say, well, it's a CISO's job and, you know, brief me once a month on what's going on. I think all CIOs now are pretty ingrained with their security program.
The other thing that's coming around, and I think you may get a little bit of a kick out of this, is the discussion about authority and responsibility for CIOs. We see it with Fitara, for instance, on Capitol Hill. You see OMB being constantly asked about authority and responsibility. And again, not asking you about the legislation specifically, but do you find that CIOs, here we are, you know, again, 7 years, 6 years after you left last, really do have that seat at the table in a bigger way than previously? Again, maybe PBGC is a little different, but are you hearing it from your colleagues that they feel like that they are part of that executive group that maybe in 2005, 2006, even before that, they weren't?
Yeah, no, I think it's increased. I think they do have more of a seat at the table, but I don't think it's where it still needs to be yet. I still believe that, you know, in a lot of organizations, you don't see that CIO reporting directly into the DepSec or the secretary like you'd see in the private sector, where the CIO is an executive vice president on the board of directors and reporting right into the CEO and president. I don't think we're there yet. I think it's a mix across government. I think it has gotten better. I don't see the CIO's push down now and under the CFO as much and anymore at all. I'm seeing a model that actually is working, and one that's actually working for me here is I actually report into the CMO, and her and I have actually created a great working relationship because of the areas that she oversees, and getting their buy-in as being part of her organization has helped tremendously.
And I think that's something we see a lot with the chief management piece, the assistant secretary for management, or whatever the title is. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into some of your priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Barry West, the CIO of the Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Barry West, the Chief Information Officer of the Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation. Now, Barry, before break, we talked a lot about your adjustment to the PBGC coming back to government from the private sector, as well as what has changed over time. One of the things you did, and you know, I see you around and about at different events, a firm and such, and you said to me a number of months ago, hey, catch up with me about my new IT strategic plan. You're very excited about it. Well, it's finally out after, I'm sure, a year's worth of research and work on it. So yeah. Let's talk about the plan, discuss the goals.
Yeah, we have actually five strategic goals that are in the plan. The first is cyber IT security. The second is around cloud computing and shared services. The third is around information and data. The fourth is social collaboration. And the fifth strategic goal is around mobility. And then we have three actual enabling goals to support those five strategic goals, and that's around customer service, governance, and the IT workforce.
All right. Now, each one of those has goals underneath it. Let's start. You talked about cyber. You had some material weaknesses. So that's obviously top of mind. Go through a couple of the goals in each of those five areas that really stand out to you.
Yeah, well, you definitely touched on the first one, and the first one is our top priority. The only one that I listed that's in any type of priority order is the first one, and that's the cyber and the IT security. And we are focusing heads down on those material weaknesses. We've actually put together a tiger team of both feds and contractors that are focusing each day. They're not doing the day-to-day operations around security. I have a separate team that's focusing on these findings and recommendations in our material weaknesses. The first material weakness is around our IT security program itself, and the second is around access controls and configuration management. So that's really our big one, and we've done some really good things here over the last 8 months to try to really enhance our security, getting extra resources, actually moving resources from other areas to focus more on security. I've also brought in the CSAM tool, which is a line of business over at Department of Justice. That they've got about 15 agencies now that are using that service to house all of the POAMs, our artifacts, and our security plans. Now we have one centralized repository rather than having people running around with spreadsheets. And now we've got everything online, which has really worked out well. My goal and also with the security program is working with my peers and with the IG closely in developing a corrective action plan that they have bought into. And as we work weekly, I actually get briefed now weekly from the Tiger team. I brief the executive management council at least once every 3 months and brief my boss, the CMO, at least once every 2 weeks where we stand, the security posture, and so on. The second one, the cloud computing and shared services, we've got an enterprise effort underway right now to take all of our SharePoint. Right now we've got different islands and pockets of SharePoint. We've got some old 2007 instances. We've got some 2010 instances that are standalone, and we've got, believe it or not, some old Plumtree portal instances of collaboration that are still here. And what I'm doing is I'm moving all of those into a SharePoint 2013 in the cloud. And we're on target right now to have that completed by January of next year. So hope to actually be doing some testing here in December of this year. And also, along with the SharePoint, we'll be moving our email to a true cloud environment as well. So we're actually going through the procurement strategies and getting ready to, put those requests for proposals up and working with our procurement shop right now. Information and data, the old saying, it's all about the data. And it truly is, especially in an organization like ours, whereas we don't really get into the big data because we're not like an IRS or a Census Bureau that's dealing with tons of data, but we do deal with participant data. And we really leverage, in some ways, we haven't done this yet, but we could leverage data sets from other big data users like Treasury and others that we actually interface with. We have a pretty mature enterprise architecture here, but one thing I am looking at is bringing in a chief data officer to really look at our data across the entire enterprise. We have a data reference model, but again, that's just touching on and referencing the data in one aspect. I really want somebody that can come in and work with me closely on understanding the data, looking at data redundancies, seeing where we can be set up more quickly to access our data and share data and eliminate some of these older systems that we're using. So that's definitely on my radar. The social collaboration, our public affairs office is a big user of a lot of the social tools like Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. And we obviously want to be able to see if we can leverage that more with some of our business units in different ways. So the good thing is, again, our public affairs office is out on the leading edge, so we're actually working with them closely as we move out and modernize a lot of our IT systems. Where does it make sense that we can be leveraging and improving our internal and external social collaboration and communications? Because that's what that strategic goal is about. The mobility, we are moving off the more likely off the BlackBerry here. In fact, we have awarded a contract to Samsung. We're going to be going with the Galaxy 4 even though the Galaxy 5 is coming out soon. We have a contract for the Galaxy 4 with AT&T, so we're making that effort here and giving up our BlackBerries here over the next few months. But mobility is a lot more than that. It's increasing the use of mobility to actually support the changing needs and requirements of our customers and our workforce. So are there ways that our facilities area could be using iPads to do a lot of their architectural work with building plans? Could our benefits folks out in the field be using iPads and using things a lot more than just using traditional paper and pencil? So we're going to be leveraging a lot of our current support around mobility as we modernize a lot of our systems. Customer service, which is the one I mentioned about enabling, we are really big here on customer service, and our director, Josh Gottbaum, is very, very keen on looking at our customer service numbers and getting feedback from our customers constantly through surveys and seeing what our scores are and constantly trying to improve our IT service delivery and to add business value and achieve efficiencies and increase customer satisfaction. So we're constantly each month looking and getting feedback from our online tools that we have on our PBGC website. And we also have several tools that our benefits participants can actually use to go in, whether they're an individual that has a pension plan of their own or they're an organization, a company that is using us to set up their pension plans. Both can be done through using online tools. Governance is obviously a key area for us. I actually chair the IT Portfolio Review Board, and my co-chair is the CFO. And what I've been doing there, Jason, is I'm going to be switching that each year to a different business unit representative from the executive board. This year, I chose the CFO because we have a really good partnership, and I think it's just a good choice to have the CFO on board as you go through and evaluate your IT investments. We've really matured our IT portfolio management process here at PBGC, where we're really looking at inputs from like our IT program plan, PMO analysis, enterprise architecture analysis, and IT program registration, which feeds into our overall governance process of prioritizing, controlling, and then evaluating. And then the outputs then are then sent on for review and approval through our budget board and our executive board as we make our investment decisions. So that's actually, I was very impressed with the work that that they've done here with their portfolio, the entire CPIC cycle that they use and the schedules that they adhere to going forward. And then the last is the IT workforce. And obviously, you want to try to balance. It's a balancing act of trying to keep your folks trained, giving them the training dollars they need, but also watching your budget and making sure that you're spending it wisely. And also, the other thing I'm in the process of doing is setting up individual development plans. It's something they haven't had here in a while, but really getting the employees to actually map out what they feel they want to do, and then aligning that to the organization's needs so it becomes a win-win for both the supervisor and the employee as they try to fit in what, you know, how does the employee's desires align strategically with what the organization is trying to do going forward.
All right. You just had a great brain dump on me with so much going on. So there's plenty I want to follow up with, but we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we're going to hit upon some of those high points that you outlined. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Barry West, the Chief Information Officer of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also,
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right. But did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez. How do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Barry West, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation's Chief Information Officer. Barry, you went through a whole laundry list of priorities, all goals that were outlined in your strategic plan, which we will link to on federalnewsradio.com so people can read it for themselves. I want to highlight a couple of the things, and starting with the email approach. One of the things you said is a possible RFP for emails. You, as a former person who was in industry, knows what that means. It means you're going to get a lot of calls now or emails, as you said, from vendors. Give me a little bit more about it. Are you looking at a public approach, a private approach? What's your ideas now?
As we move, it's actually going to be the SharePoint first, and we're actually going to be looking at a host provider to help us with that, and then also with the migration itself, with the existing legacy Plumtree portal apps, and then also the older 2007, 2010 documents as well, SharePoint. So it's really going to be divided probably into two different areas there, two different acquisitions. And then as that's moving along, we would then go out with the email as well. So the idea would probably, we'd be looking at a maybe possibly a hybrid approach for the cloud. We haven't totally nailed that down yet, but more than likely a true cloud setup where someone is managing the hardware and the software in a public type environment.
And from a timing standpoint, I know you mentioned SharePoint for 2015. Would email then come later in 2015? Should people look out for an RFP when, roughly?
Within the next 3 months. So we're actually moving along here pretty quickly. We hope to actually have everything in place as far as the award and everything by the by this fall.
All right, so plenty going on now. It seems like probably vendors are getting pretty good at moving email, moving these things, so they can do it fairly quickly.
Exactly. We've got so many different case studies from both large and smaller departments that have moved. So it has gotten to be less of a major initiative. I think the SharePoint will be more of a challenge than the email.
One of the other things that comes up a lot of times when I talk to CIOs about cloud is both storage and server virtualization, as well as some of the other kind of collaboration tools in the cloud beyond SharePoint. Are those under consideration at all yet?
Oh, absolutely. Instant messaging, links, we're looking at those as well, and how could be possibly used in our efforts, and they would obviously be cloud-based. And we're seeing that more and more, the instant messaging being used by organizations. So, yeah, we plan to use and leverage as many of those tools out of the box as we can.
And as around data center consolidation, is that something, obviously, it's a big focus from OMB and Congress, but how does that affect you guys?
We have our data center here, and then we have our COOP facility in Wilmington, Delaware. We're always looking to cut that footprint down. They actually had two data centers here in D.C. up until a few years ago, so they have consolidated it down to one. And we're constantly looking at virtualization and just decreasing that footprint. I would eventually like to get everything out of the data center here and put that in a shared services environment, you know, somewhere in the local area, and still have our COOP facility. But the goal is to just keep decreasing that that footprint.
Maybe one of your old friends at Commerce could help you out. I heard Census may be looking to be a shared service provider for some of those data center services.
Yes, they are actually on my list. I think they have a data center in my old stomping grounds at Census, where I was at for 8 years, their buoy facility.
All right, so something to maybe look out for in the future from you guys.
Yeah.
The other strategic goal that you talked about was data and information. Now, that's a huge issue. You talked a little bit about big data, but I'm really interested in pulling the thread more about the chief data officer. Where do you see this person lying, and what would kind of their role be within your organization?
There's only been a handful of agencies, I think, that have actually went out and hired CDOs, but I think you're going to see it growing. I talked to Gartner the other day, and they said they've seen the last 18 months a tremendous shift in the private and public sector with the role of a chief data officer. You also see it called data architect, but I think the chief data officer is a more prevalent name. I think it's a position that could start out working with the CIO, but then possibly move up in the organization to a secretary director level, the reporting authority, because they are looking across the organization and from a business standpoint. It's not just about technology. It's looking at all of these various data streams across the organization, whether it be your financial systems, your general counsel systems, your actual, in our case, our benefits administration payment department, which is our biggest actual business unit here. It's looking at all of those data streams and looking at how we can standardize better and reduce a lot of data redundancy in our databases. We're a huge Oracle shop here with a lot of Oracle instances. You know, being able to look at those and see how we can leverage those data repositories, and also having one system of record. Right now, we've got so many different systems of records in each of the various systems that they report up to. It's really being able to define one system of record that they all can draw upon as we modernize our systems.
And I think that from a data standpoint, the changes that we've seen over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, you know, the cloud, the mobility, it all comes back, as you said, to the data. It's all about the data. Can you access the data? Where can you access it? And then now, as you hear the term line of sight, what does that show me in terms of what the data means? Are you guys looking at some maybe data analytical tools that would kind of coincide with that hiring of a CDO?
We would. And we would have that CDO obviously involved in those analytical tools. And also, this administration's been pushing big the open data policy and getting more and more of your data, making it as transparent as possible. So this role would also be taking over that initiative. And right now, I own that process here at PBGC. But the administration wants us to keep looking, not just once, but continually scrubbing our data sets and our data elements and posting those out on the web, making them accessible to the public so that it just makes it that much easier for the citizen to find things, and then also having that replicated over on the data.gov website as well.
You made a big decision to move away from BlackBerry. What went into that decision, and then why Samsung versus anything else?
Really came down, we actually went through a solicitation, so it was open bidding, and BlackBerry actually was one of the bidders as well. And we went out with just like it was a normal solicitation. We just didn't zero in on one. And it came down to meeting our requirements and the best price for the government and the features that we were looking at as we moved forward, and also meeting the requirements of security. And the Samsung met the FIPS 140-2, and there were already several other organizations such as Department of Justice and FBI that had already moved to Samsung here over the past year and have been very happy with its use and the support that they're getting for the device. So a lot of it was cost applications down the road, and I know BlackBerry's taken a different business model here in the last approach over the last 3 to 4 months, where they're now just focusing on government clients versus private sector as well. So that was obviously something we looked at closely.
And from a cost standpoint, are you able to offer, are you thinking 10% less, 20% less? Can you tell?
Yeah, it's too early, but we will actually be saving with the opportunity and the deal that we worked out. We'll actually be saving, say, probably more in the line of 15 to 20%.
All right, a lot going on. And unfortunately, though, we are out of time, my friend. We will have to have you back on soon as some of these pilots and things come to fruition. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Barry West, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation's Chief Information Officer. Barry, so good to talk to you again. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.